Blog Talk Radio.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Greg, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think the Skype is acting weird. So it looks like we are back in business or in business, whatever the case may be. How are you this week?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. I was wondering frantically what is going on with this technology, but at least we're back on. First, thank you for being on the show this week. And before we get started with this congested week that's coming up with wrestling that's going to last as long as they, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves, I guess. Why don't you tell folks what you do with the Torch and how you got involved and how they can contact or get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. I've been writing a full-page column on page 10 of the weekly Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter for probably about 10 years now, every week. And the subjects range from almost any promotion that I'm paying attention to, and the ideas are far-ranging as well. Basically, anything that pops into my head that I think I can write 1,500 words about that week, I do just that. And then I also host Wrestling Night in America on pwtorchdailycast.com every Sunday night, usually at 8 p.m. Eastern. Sometimes if there's a WWE pay-per-view, we'll go on the air right after that show goes off the air. We take your phone calls. We take your emails. And it's a lot of fun. I get to talk with a lot of pwtorch.com contributors as my co-host each and every week. So a lot of different voices are heard alongside me each week. And I got my start on the Torch probably 20 years ago. My first assignment was covering WCW Saturday Night, basically until it became a recap show. So all the glory days of the, you know, the WCW hardcore title with Brian Knobbs and Jim Duggan fishing the TV title out of a trash can, I covered that era of Saturday Night. And then, you know, when it went to a recap show, I kind of went away. And then at some point, I think 06, 07, early 07, I started recapping SmackDown every week, live and in real time for pwtorch.com. And within a year or two, that evolved into writing columns each week for the newsletter, which I've been doing ever since.
Excellent. And how can folks keep track of you on the social medias?
Yes, on the social medias, I'm basically on one social media at this point. Try to cut down. I'm on Twitter at Greg M. Parks, and I usually tweet during the live shows. I have no idea what my schedule is going to be as far as what live shows I'll be tweeting during starting this week, but certainly Raw. Wednesday nights I'll be tweeting live during one of the shows anyway, and probably Fridays for SmackDown as well. So I'd love to interact with fans there.
Excellent. And so, like I said, this week is, I mentioned before you got on, this week is wild because, like you said, we don't know how the shows are going to go from a daily cast lineup because with the change, I was listening to Grit and Glitter earlier this week cleaning out my closet and, you know, they're like, well, we don't know. And I'm like, wait, I didn't even think about that. I remember Greg covered the AEW show live on Saturdays, but after this, Saturdays are going to be MLW, so someone doing a post-MLW.
Yeah.
And my brain just started working, and as it does, I just like, oh, no, I've gone cross-eyed, and just thinking about all the permutations. And that's not even talking about covering it. So for you, let me just start with the overview of the week. What are your thoughts? And then we'll kind of go from there. We got Monday Night Raw, 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday is Impact, 2 hours. Wednesday is AEW and NXT, so that's 4 hours. Thursday, props to independentwrestling.tv, is Beyond's Uncharted Territory. Friday, which is 2 hours, typically 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes. Friday's SmackDown, and then Saturday's MLW.
That's the question. That's the question every wrestling fan this weekend is going to spend their time trying to figure out. You know, for me personally, I can say Raw on Monday. Tuesday, I get a little bit of a break because I don't get access. So I'm out on Impact, at least for the live showing. I'm sure I'll catch up with it somewhere along the week. It's not going to change all that much because I don't get Pursuit either, the channel that they're currently on. So usually at some point during the week, after a few weeks, because Impact is not one of those shows that, you know, it's not live. It's not something that you need to catch because they do a pay-per-view every month, you know. So sometimes I'll spend a Saturday or a Sunday and I'll catch up on two or three episodes of Impact. And so I don't think that's going to change for me. Wednesday, I really haven't decided. Obviously, this week I'll probably check out AEW only because it's the first episode. So depending on how I'm feeling, I will DVR the second show and either watch it right after before I go to bed, because you can zoom through that pretty quickly on DVR, or I'll spend Thursday night watching that. I know Beyond has gotten quite a bit of a following. In fact, when I'll scour Twitter on Wednesdays for NXT talk, I see actually more Beyond talk from fans that I follow and from people on Twitter. So I know they have quite a bit of a following. Friday, SmackDown, obviously, so that'll stay during the week. But and MLW is unfortunately just a byproduct of there's not enough hours in the week for me. I hear good things about their product. I really wish I could dedicate more time to checking them out. I'm planning on doing a column within the next few weeks where I kind of catch myself up on it and give my reactions to what I see. But I just even haven't found the time to even sit down and watch any of those episodes. So, God willing, I'm able to catch up on MLW somewhere along the way, but then you're on Sunday and there's pay-per-views once a month on Sundays. And then we do the whole thing again on Monday. So I don't know, you know, some of the fans, I don't know how long they're going to be lasting doing this kind of schedule.
And in my thoughts on this week, I feel like this is the epitome of how do you eat an elephant. And, you know, my school teacher would say one bite at a time, but at this point,
right,
I don't know if you have enough, you know, to bite into this, because
right.
We mentioned that. And then, you know, I'll add on, you know, I think of the, also, I also think of the episode of The Simpsons when Homer ate all the donuts and they put them on a conveyor belt. Add on the on-demand wrestling, like Progress, for as long as that remains independent from whatever packages WWE may put it on, WXW, anything else that's on independent wrestling, that TV, his favorite promotion, CWF Mid-Atlantic's YouTube weekly series, the being the / road to content additional to anything AEW does, WWE's 24/7, and of course their network, a partridge and a pear tree.
Right.
At some point, is this sustainable?
I think so. If the audiences truly are as different as the numbers and the people behind the company say. The numbers, as far as pay-per-view numbers that have been put in the Observer, have shown that, you know, the AEW audience is there's not a lot of crossover with the WWE audience. And the WWE audience doesn't cross over a lot with even Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling. And then you have AEW, the numerous vice presidents behind that product are saying, you know, we want to grab the lapsed fans. We want to grab those fans back who left, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, those, you know, 2 million fans who stopped watching WWE over the past few years. We want to grab those fans. So there might not be as much crossover as there are among wrestling journalists like ourselves who try to consume as much as possible. You know, maybe the fans out there who are not as invested as us, maybe they've already made their choices. They've already chosen, I'll watch Raw, but I'm not going to watch SmackDown. Or I'll watch NXT, but I'm not going to watch Raw or SmackDown. So for those people, adding on an AEW may not be all that big of a deal. Obviously, there are still a lot of diehards who are going to try to watch everything. And that's where something's going to have to get cut off. And that's going to be the great part about it, because it's a fan's market. Every one of these brands is going to try to impress. They're going to put their best foot forward starting this week. They're not going to want to be the one product or the one television show that fans lop off their viewing habits. So everybody's going to want to put their best foot forward, and I think that's a good thing for the viewer.
And to that point, as far as the viewer goes, and if you all want to join in, feel free to give us a call, air code 515-605-9345, and make sure you hit one on the touch tone or rotary if you are so time inclined. How about the idea of hotshotting? Because I feel like sustainability also falls into that as well, because when I think about co-host on the East Coast Cast mentioned on Twitter this afternoon, when you look at the lineup for AEW's Dynamite versus this week's NXT, there is a lack of star power, basically, on the AEW side, and it seems like a very straightforward, here's a first show, here's an introduction to these wrestlers, whereas they've built to a mini takeover on the side of NXT. So how's if the fan bases aren't disparate, there's going to be this tugging for the same competing resources, and how long can you keep these match of the weeks, kind of like what we saw at the original Monday Night War, before people just get burned out?
Well, NXT has a couple things going for it. They have a lot of wrestlers, and a lot of wrestlers who could be top talent on that brand who just haven't been yet. You know, I look at the Keith Lee, and I look at the Dijakovics, and Damian Priest, and Kushida, and a lot of names they've got toiling away who they haven't pushed into major matches yet. So it's not like NXT has run through a lot of top matches. There's still a lot to come. So the nature of their television product up to this point has avoided hotshotting at all costs. So if they need to hotshot here and there in the first couple months, I don't think it's really going to hurt anything because they have the depth for it and they haven't done it to death on NXT television. You take into account they only do a select number of takeovers per year, and there's only about five matches per takeover. So they're also not running through those major matches on takeovers because they're not bloating the card and they're not doing one a month. So they're in a pretty good spot where I think they can get away with hotshotting over the next few months to try to, if the need arises, to keep up with AEW.
Now, having seen the first 2 weeks, especially with that split between live on USA and then live on the network, thanks to the delightful season finale, or series rather, finale of Suits, what do you think about that second hour? How have you enjoyed it so far? And do you feel like it's especially since you had to switch to the network for it, something you've seen as extraneous or maybe plotting? I've seen some positives and some complaints on Twitter. So I want to kind of see where you're at with that second hour so far.
I think the second hour has felt like regular NXT TV. And the first hour has felt more like a mini takeover. It's felt more energetic. You get a sense that the crowd realizes that they're on the USA Network for that hour. And then just as the show seems to come down for the second hour, so do the fans. So the second hour has been decent, but when you compare it to the first hour, I think there's been a pretty big fall off in both weeks as far as just the feel of it and maybe even the quality of it in certain respects. I don't expect that to continue once that second hour goes to USA starting this week. So I would really be interested to see how they sustain that first hour momentum that they've had the first few weeks, where they've kind of fallen off a little bit when they've gone to the I almost said NXT Network, like Kathy Kelly. She's got that stuck in my head now. Like the WWE Network and how they sustain those full 2 hours on USA.
And it's funny to me because I'm thinking about it as we talk. As you go through the week, there is, based on the attendances of all of the shows, there's going to be some weeks where NXT between I'll just stick to Monday through Friday to be fair, because I don't think it's fair for MLW. Between Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Beyond, and AEW, NXT might have the smallest number of attendees at their show, depending on whether or not Beyond is outside of there. They usually do bar wrestling in the Boston area, or I'm sorry, the Massachusetts area, New England area. But they do go to some, like White Eagle is pretty big. And I think it's actually bigger than the NXT, quote-unquote, arena by about 150, 200 people. So that's really weird to me that you have one of the more well financially supported promotions, and they're going to be beaten out by attendance by a, you know, single, sometimes two camera operation that brings great wrestling but doesn't have all the pizzazz that they do.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things in play with that. The first is, obviously, WWE doesn't need NXT to go on the road and draw. They are a billion-dollar company. If they want to run NXT at full sail in front of 400 fans, they can get away with doing that. You know, they're not dependent on making money from NXT arena ticket sales for their weekly TV. So that's a luxury that WWE has that other companies like Beyond and some others don't have. The other thing is NXT uses that to their advantage. You know, I think there's a certain part of Triple H that likes to keep NXT as the underdog, especially compared to Raw and SmackDown, likes to keep NXT as the little engine that could. I think he thrives in that almost a Paul Heyman ECW type thing where, you know, when ECW started to get too big and they outgrew the Bingo Hall in Philadelphia, ECW lost a lot of its charm. And NXT, if they're still playing to the diehards, and if they're still playing in a 400-seat arena, yeah, they'll look a little more minor league by comparison, but I think that's part of what makes NXT NXT. And I think when you go to the arenas, as much as the wrestlers will come off as more stars in front of casual viewers who are checking out the product, I do think you lose something with that.
Yeah, and to your point, I'm thinking about how you mentioned first with the television, you have the intimacy. Triple H is kind of happy with that. In fact, if you look on Twitter right now, you can look at the quote-unquote exclusive video of him going to the venue that most of the wrestlers would go to for dinner, and he kind of surprises them. And that was really cool, especially considering that that intimate nature is what made the fans appreciate the NXT wrestlers as much as they have. Mm-hmm. I'm always big, especially when it comes to nerding out about stuff and wrestling, on the numbers. And so that's why I'm really glad, one, I do the show, and two, a group like WrestleNomics exists. Because I mentioned Wade a few days ago when I did the Raw show with him. When you look at WrestleNomics put up on Twitter, and I'll retweet it for everyone else's edification, you look at the roster circa 2014 for WWE, the main roster was 90, non-main roster was 59. Jump to August of 2019. Main roster is 129, non-main, the NXTs, et cetera, 136.
Man.
That's wild.
I mean, and there's a couple reasons for that, obviously. You know, with NXT growing and becoming more of a – I don't want to use the term juggernaut because I think that's a little bit of a cliche, but, you know, they've got they've got the performance center. They want to be able to use it. They've got this TV. They've upped now to 2 hours a week. There may be an increase in takeovers in 2020. But, you know, the reality also is WWE is signing these guys to keep them away from competition. And so that's a big part of it too. And that's not something WWE will admit to, but I think it's pretty obvious to any fan who's watching the changes in the business and watching how AEW has gotten their major TV deal on TNT, how they've done on pay-per-view, on Bleacher Report Live, the numbers they've drawn there. So WWE, I mean, they want to corner the market on top talent, and if they have to stash them away in NXT, and, you know, I used these examples before, the Keith Lees, the Kushidas, the Dijakovics, the guys who, you know, a couple months ago weren't really doing anything, they would rather have that than have them go be a star somewhere else and compete against them in this arena. So that's a factor too.
And I want to take a moment, and again, if you all are interested, jump in. If see some people listening, but if you want to ask us a question or join in the conversation, hit one on your keypad. If not, listen away. We welcome it. I think about NXT. And you mentioned Keith Lee, Donovan Dijakovic, and all of the folks, even the people you think on the C-loop that they have that's essentially the trainee loop they use with NXT and how they can utilize them. When you look at a Beyond, if you don't have Nick Gage out there, if you don't have Chris Dickinson, if you don't have formerly EYFBO, formerly LAX, currently whatever the heck AEW is going to call them, Santana and Ortiz, I guess, you – you don't really have people you can pull out and say, here's a developmental person that also has a cachet that's going to get you to watch. When you look at AEW, Sammy Guevara isn't Cody Rhodes. You get Cody Rhodes in a ring and you know who he is. When you flip it and you look at NXT WWE, especially with the new television deals that are going to be starting or have started, how do they sell the names that have kind of been beaten down in the fan base's eyes while also trying to big up what they're doing in NXT? Because I think that's going to be another big issue as you have that much content. You're going to have somewhere upwards of 8 hours of wrestling just on your brand, and you got to serve several masters to do it.
Sure. Yeah, I think for the casual fans who may be Raw and SmackDown viewers, but for whatever reason never bought the WWE Network, has never seen NXT, I think as they check out NXT on the USA Network, that's not really an issue for them because they don't know the history of these guys in NXT. They're seeing them with fresh eyes for the first time. And then you have the guys that you mentioned that, you know, maybe need to be rehabilitated in the eyes of the fans. Luckily, I think NXT fans are pretty forgiving. I think they know the talent that's there, and they're willing to give folks who've lost before and need to be built back up, I think they're willing to give them that opportunity. And I look at Bianca Belair, who had a relatively short feud with Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title some time ago, and she was on the losing end of that. And, you know, she's kind of been in and out of the spotlight in the NXT Women's division. I think if you were to bring her back up to feud with Shayna Baszler up the card there in NXT, I don't think people would hold it against her and say, well, now, wait a minute, we've already seen her lose to Shayna Baszler. We need to see someone new. Bring in Dakota Kai, bring in, you know, Rhea Ripley, bring in somebody else to feud. I think that the NXT fans are pretty forgiving. I think there's some ownership by the fans over the rest. Like, they're ours. They're like us. And I think that's, again, that goes to the intimacy of NXT when you stay in that 400-seat arena on Full Sail and you have basically the same crowd coming in every week. You have those same crowds that do the Florida Loop shows, that go to the shows in Venice or Tampa or Largo or wherever it might be. There's an intimacy there. So I think they're more accepting of wrestlers. Okay, this guy's been a loser. Kona Reeves, you know, he's been a loser, but if they want to push him as even a mid-level heel, you know, we'll go along with it and we'll play along because that's our part and we want to do our part to see NXT succeed.
And we've talked a lot about NXT, but I do want to give some time to Raw and SmackDown, especially since I cover them on Thursday, Beyond Wrestling. What do you think when I'm looking, I'll start with Monday with Raw. When you look at Raw, you have a 3-hour beast that, you know, this week for the first time in Lord knows how long, we had Kevin Dunn do an interview where he was touting how they're bringing back lasers, they're bringing pyro, new sets, new music, AC/DC, you know, bikers on ramps doing kick flips and indie nose bones. Just you name it, every show's going to have it. Two distinct, for the first time ever, brand writers and executive directors. But it's still going to be Monday night, 3 hours posited against Monday Night Football. What do they need to do to get it right on Mondays?
I think it's just consistency. It's consistency. It's week in, week out, making your show something that people want to see. And I know they could do it because they've done it before. You know, there have been episodes of Monday Night Raw where you get to, you know, the middle of the second hour or the middle of the third hour, rather, and you're like, man, this show has flown by. You know, there's always something big happening. It's all good. I can't believe we're 2.5 hours in already. But then you get those shows that by the middle of the second hour, you're like, oh my gosh, we're only halfway through this. And I think that's, you got to eliminate, and it sounds so simple, but I know it's not, because producing and writing a 3-hour show each and every week is not easy. But I think the thing that's going to win them over is just consistency. Make it a product that's worth tuning in to see each and every week. And, you know, it's not going to be overnight. This isn't going to happen by the end of October. It's going to be something that you have to work on and work on and work on and show fans that, hey, we're not going to sit here and insult your intelligence every week. We're going to, when we brag about being like considered for an Emmy, it's actually going to mean something because we're going to be of that quality, and it's not just going to be lip service. So to me, it's just the consistency, and that really encompasses so much of the product that really falls under that umbrella. But you know, there's going to be people who are always going to check out NFL over Raw, no matter how good Raw is. The NFL is just something that's very hard to compete against at this point in time, you know. But yeah, the consistency is the big thing for me.
And what about on Fridays? I had Mark Blutman, one of the showrunners of Boy and Girl Meets World and writer, and one of the things he told me when we interviewed, and it stuck with me, was Boy Meets World was on Fridays on ABC, and that was the tail end of the TGIF lineup. And when mm-hmm. they were going through the motion of every week, we want this to be something that grabs you, but the emotion, like the jokes are going to make you laugh, but the emotion and the storytelling is going to bring you back. And that's yep. how they live their life with the show. And he said, that's what wrestling needs to do. And especially for SmackDown. I'm going to ask you the same thing. What does SmackDown need to do to retain the numbers? And how do you differentiate yourself from Raw without also burning out Eric Bischoff, who, regardless of, you know, depending on who you believe or whatever, for the purposes of this, let's just say he is running it. How does he run a show that's different than Paul Heyman and also successful?
Well, I think the first thing is Fox and WWE have done an amazing job of promoting the show so far. You can't watch 5 minutes of Fox programming or FX programming or any arm of the Fox networks and not run into an ad for SmackDown on Fox. So they are doing everything they can to get that word out there that, hey, SmackDown's coming to Fox on October 4th. So that's the first thing they needed to do, and they've done that tremendously. The second thing I think they need to do is decide who their audience is, because Friday nights is a very tough night to draw the 18 to 49 demographic that I think they want to draw. So I think they have to decide, is that the audience that they're going to go for, and how are they going to convince them to watch it live rather than go out at the end of a long work week or something like that. And if that's not the audience they want to draw, if they want to draw a younger audience, the 12 to 17 who may be, you know, too young to go out and have a night on the town on a Friday night, then they've got to gear their show toward that. So I think they really need to decide who they're gearing their show toward and make it so, and make it to attract that audience. And the other thing is, and you know, you talked about how to differentiate it from Raw. To a certain extent, yes, SmackDown should be paying attention to what happens on Raw, but I think they need to do their own thing. I don't think they can look at Raw and say, okay, Raw's doing this, let's do this completely differently. I think they just need to do what they think will work, whether that's Eric Bischoff, whether that's Vince McMahon, whoever's truly got the keys. And like you said, in this argument, it's Eric Bischoff. So we'll say, whatever Eric Bischoff in 2019 thinks is going to work, Eric Bischoff should do that for SmackDown. Whether or not Raw is doing it, whether or not it's successful, he needs to, because he's got to have the confidence of the SmackDown crew. You talked about it's a separate writing team. It's going to be a separate roster. They're going to be looking at him for guidance. And, you know, he's got to be able to lead and lead with confidence and lead with things that he believes in and what will truly work.
And who do you think, what I want to do now is also think about the rosters. But before I do that, I'd be remiss, word to Craig, if I didn't bring it up. I know you might not necessarily watch Beyond Wrestling or MLW, but for their production standpoint, what's one thing you think for an independent promotion that's on television that's going up against two billionaires running their wrestling leagues? What is the thing that they need to do just to stay afloat on Thursdays online and then Saturdays in the case of Saturdays and Tuesdays in the case of MLW, New Japan, and Impact?
I just think they need to – I think they can fill a character gap. And I don't know what AEW is going to be. I think AEW is, you know, they're TV-14. They're going to be a little more edgy, I think, than probably Raw or SmackDown. But if you're someone who just watches AEW, you've got time for Beyond, or you've got time for MLW. I know that the characters in WWE on Raw and SmackDown, they don't really pop to a lot of people. They don't resonate. And so I think that's one weakness of WWE that you can take advantage of and Beyond. And I know you mentioned Nick Gage and Beyond. I mean, that's a character that you're not going to see in WWE, you know, bottom line. So that's something that a Beyond or an MLW can do. They can have a character like that who is just, I mean, he attracts eyeballs. You know, people want to see what he's going to do next because he legit seems crazy. So, you know, they can take advantage of that where WWE has it as a weakness. And who knows, maybe that'll get fixed over the next few months in WWE. But I think that character counts. And you've got to have characters that resonate with people, that people will care about, and not just somebody that's blabbing corporate speak back at you from a script.
And for me, looking at this and having seen Beyond, I want to thank Sean for that too, because Sean Radican's been awesome and kind of pulling me in. And again, darn it, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention freaking Ring of Honor, which I just watched last night. And as I say that, I say, because when we cover it this weekend, I'm going to say the same thing I'm saying here with Greg. Good friends don't make friends. Watch Ring of Honor on a Friday night when there's other things in the universe I could have been doing. And I'll leave it at that. But needless to say, my review of it.
Now, I'll tell you this, Rich. I'll tell you this. Tomorrow, and I'll get in a plug here. Tomorrow on Wrestling Night in America, I've got Tyler Sage, who covers ROH for PWTorch.com. And we're going to talk about last night's pay-per-view. But I have not watched it yet.
Oh.
I did not take my Friday night, and I did not watch their pay-per-view yet. So probably tonight or tomorrow sometime I will take the time to watch it. But I resemble that remark that you just made.
Yeah, it was one of those things where last night, usually, and this is more of like how the sausage is made, but usually whenever there's a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, depending on if I'm coaching football or something, I would watch it early in the morning, the next day, in the afternoon today. Since I haven't been coaching this season, I was able to watch live because Sean texted me. He's like, hey, why don't we watch together? And we can kind of like text like thoughts as we go through. And by the end of it, I was like, I thought you were my friend. Like, why would you do this? And it's a lot. And for me, it's also the burnout. And that's why I enjoy Beyond, because like you said, nowhere else are you going to get a dude whose career skyrocketed after he got out of jail for armed robbery. Like that blows my mind. I read a great David Bixenspan interview with Nick Gage where he talked about he thought his career was over. But he comes out of jail, he's lost weight, and people, like you said, he's nuts. Like, I got to interview folks at StarCast. I chatted with him for a few minutes because he was situated next to Francine, which was hilarious to me. And we got to talking about how, you know, in the past there have been some events where the smoke show Scarlett Bordeaux had complained. Wrestling fans took pictures and they got a little too handsy and just assumed they could put you in whatever position they want for the photo like you're an action figure. And I mentioned that to Francine, and also it was Selena De La Renta from MLW there at the same table. And Nick Gage overheard it, and he popped over. He's like, well, that's not happening over here. And I just looked at him, nodded, and just that was all that needed to be said. And I just waited for like a smooth 10 minutes. And sure enough, it was like watching kids take someone to prom with their dad looking over the shoulder, because every single person was looking dead eye at Nick Gage as they took their photo.
Yeah.
And I guarantee people were like, if you look at that group of folks when they took their pictures, if they put them online, all of them are looking to their left and you don't know why, but it's a bald man just staring a hole in them as they watch to see where the hands are going.
Yeah. And you know, there's a niche on the independent scene that can be filled by characters like that. And I'm not saying wrestlers should go commit armed robbery and spend time in prison before, you know, getting a big push on the indies, but that kind of character and that kind of, you know, personality, and not everybody's going to be able to pull that off. But, you know, I look at somebody on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, Orange Cassidy, who has made a name on the independent scene by having his hands in his pockets and going in slow motion in the ring. So that kind of – those kind of, like, oddball characters who you wouldn't think would fit on a – you know, the clean and sanitized for your protection WWE product, those are the characters that indies can use and who can find their niche on the independent scene, because that niche isn't being filled by the major promotion.
Yeah, and I look – you know, there's a tag team, Bear Country, that kind of got put together while they were wrestling with Beyond, and I'm going to interview them in a few weeks, hopefully right after the premiere. We tried to do it before the premiere, but stuff happened. And, you know, Nerder Deathkill, you have, you know, the former Antonio Promise Thomas and Nick Gage basically with George McFly and Nick Gage wrestling as a tag team that people love. When you look at Contra Unit, you have Simon Grimm, the former Simon Gotch, who's reinvented himself as a shooter. That is just buck wild. And in a group that currently houses, I think, one of the best wrestlers going in independent wrestling, Jacob Fatu, Samoan Werewolf on Twitter. And it's awesome, but so many people aren't watching. And it sucks that you have this bevy. We are living in the greatest and worst time for pro wrestling. I am a big movie and television nerd outside of being a wrestling nerd, and I equate this to the episode of The Twilight Zone, Time Enough at Last, where like everyone else in the world is gone and this one dude is able to read every book he ever wanted to read, but then he drops his glasses and steps on them and now he can't read, which is, oh my God, that's a nightmare for me.
So sad. The saddest ending to any Twilight Zone of all time.
It is. And I thought the one, I can't remember the beauties in the eye of the, Eye of the Beholder episode, where the woman had to get the facial reconstructive surgery to look like everyone else had the pig faces. Like that was another one where it's like, whoa, okay, Twilight Zone, you're in my head. But with this, you know, I think about all the stuff we're getting for free. And then I think, you know, like you said, if you're not working for a Torch or an Observer or WrestleZone or anything like that, you're not going to spend $45 a month on wrestling subscriptions. So at some point the rubber's going to hit the road and you're going to say, I can't watch everything. What is to you, one, on a personal note, what is it that grabs you out of a promotion outside of WWE? And two, what do you think is the what's going to be your hour mark on a personal note, not like professional, that keeps you like, okay, I got to tap out?
Yeah. Well, to answer your second part first, that's going to be the thing that's going to be really interesting to see once we hit December, once we hit January, once we get a couple months into this experiment. And I'm kind of intrigued as far as the people I follow on Twitter, which are mostly, you know, the people who cover wrestling, and just to see what their tolerance level is. And because I just don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm going to try and watch as much as I can, but I know that there are going to be times and there are going to be weeks where I'm just going to DVR stuff and try to catch up to it on the weekends. But I'll do my best to catch as much as I can live. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be the real test, right? Is how much is too much? How long can you overstuff yourself with wrestling before it gets too much? And everybody's level is going to be different. There are going to be people who can do this with no problem. There are going to be people who can't. And sometimes life changes. And sometimes you have enough room in your personal life for this, and then something changes and you know, you get a significant other or you have a child or something like that happens. And all of a sudden, just the nature of life doesn't allow you to devote that much time to wrestling. And then it's not just, okay, I no longer have the hours in the day to do this, but now it's going to be, okay, what shows get lopped off first? You know, what shows do I have to cut back on first? And that's going to be something that's really interesting for me to see. As far as what grabs me, you know, that's a good question, and it's not one that I've really thought about, I guess. I'm much more of the sports-oriented product, and that's kind of why I'm intrigued to see what AEW has to offer. Because they've talked for a long time about making their product more sports oriented, and it's part of the reason I like New Japan. And you know, it wasn't, you know, what is it, 2019? So maybe 4 years ago that I really started paying attention to New Japan, and I watched all the G1 series that summer. And part of it is because they present it as a sport. They present it as something serious. And this could just be a reaction to how WWE presents it, where sometimes they get a little too jokey, sometimes they get a little too inside, sometimes they're a little too haphazard. And, you know, their reaction when people present them with this stuff is almost a shrug of the shoulders and say, well, it's fake. And that's not the reaction that I want the product that I invest a lot of time to have. You know, I want them to present this as if the wins and losses mattered. And I know people always say that, but New Japan, I think, is the product that maybe does that the best of those that are out there right now. So I would say, you know, that sports presentation really helps.
And for me, it's funny because one of my good friends, when I went WrestleMania weekend to the Ring of Honor MSG New Japan show, he was flabbergasted at me that I was annoyed. Again, I am not trying to turn this into a Ring of Honor bashing session. This is just happening organically. I was annoyed at a lot of...
Yeah, Wrestling Night in America tomorrow night on PWTorchDailyCast.com for that.
That's right. Boom. Nice, nice, very nice. I was annoyed at the ladder match. I was annoyed at the little things where I wanted it to be an athletic contest. I wanted it to be a New Japan flavored show. And instead, I kept getting, you know, this Ring of Honor's in my New Japan. And it's like, ah. And he was looking at me like
it's not as good as having peanut butter in your chocolate.
Right, exactly. By no means. By no means. And he was doing a Vince McMahon voice, and he's like, "Why don't you like the Entertainment, pal?" And I'm like, "Joe, if you don't shut up, I'm gonna throw something at you." And he's like, "Why are you all bent out of shape?" And then fast forward, and he sends me a text because he sees I'm losing my mind at Joey Janela's spring break, and I'm like, "Well, it's the environment you're in, and the guarantee of what it's giving you." And if I'm watching Joey Janela Spring Break or Matt Riddle slash who is it now? Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, I know what I'm getting. With that show, there were too many ups, downs, and weirdness that I could not get a handle on it. So when I watch Beyond, I can watch Team Tremendous because I understand their gimmick is that they're a detective tag team and they're going to grill you halfway through the match, and it's in that Orange Cassidy kind of absurdist line of thinking, and they don't break it. It's not like they're going to stop, turn to me. I am wrestling. I am a wrestler. This is what I do.
Yeah.
No. When I watch Chris Statlander, she thinks she's from another planet, and that gives her the ability to wrestle dudes and other women and look like a million bucks. The Butcher and the Blade, Pepper Parks, I've seen him in 8 different iterations, but him and Andy Williams are great together because they're a great tag team. And to me, again, pulling into the reality, Andy Williams is in Every Time I Die. Like, you have an actual rock and roll guy that's like, yeah, I'm a big unit, and I'm going to wrestle on the side, too. Word to Chris Jericho. No offense to you, sir. I'm not saying you're not a big unit. It's just that this dude is ginormous. He's like Optimus Prime with a monocle. and the monocle. I got to be honest, the monocle does it. That's it. You give me a bushy beard, mustache like Grover Cleveland and a monocle, and I'm a sucker every time. that'd be famous last words, right? And so when I look at these characters, heck, even with New Japan, as much as we talk about the athletic prestige, we have one of the greatest junior wrestlers of our generation trying to murder a man with a spike.
Yep.
And it's okay because it's in storyline, and at no point do they play it as, like you said, it's fake. Go ahead, Greg.
And while I say the sport-like presentation is what tends to draw me, that doesn't mean I don't have an appreciation for, you know, really well-done characters and gimmicks. Mm-hmm. And for as much as I love New Japan for its straightforward presentation of wrestling, Toru Yano is one of my favorite wrestlers. And he is the complete opposite of everything in New Japan. So when it's done well and it's when it's done right, I can appreciate those sort of characters. And when you sprinkle them in here and there, then, you know, I have an appreciation for that. But, you know, that in wrestling, those kind of characters are tried more often than they're successful by quite a margin. So you really have to hit on something and play it well. And Yano has done that. He's gotten a lot of mileage out of that and, quite frankly, saved his body quite a bit from playing that character. I do have an appreciation for those kinds of characters, but it tends to be the promotion itself that that focuses on not trying to – I guess it all just goes back to the not trying to insult my intelligence with whatever you're presenting me.
Yeah, and it's also placement, right? Like, we're never going to see Yujiro in a main event singles match unless he's earned that main event singles match. Him and Pater and the whole Tokyo Pimp gimmick isn't something that they're just going to rocket to the moon on a whim. It's going to be something that's elaborate. We will see something 6 months before it happens, and then you can look back and say, oh, so that's why that happened. Whereas there's so many things I've seen in WWE recently where it was, well, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. Least of all, the fact that from the time they showed up unmasked as a family until today, the McMahons claim that the wrestling fans, the WWE universe, would be determining matches and setups and all that stuff. And now Shane has been a crooked booker for the better part of, what, 4 months?
Yeah.
So hopefully Friday's the end of that. But that's also, and, you know, I would be remiss. Bruce also asked me, Bruce Mitchell, senior columnist and senior podcast legend of the torch, elder statement, asked me to ask you this question as it pertains to all of the craziness going on. What determines a fatal being added in front of fatal five-way? Is it something, as I argued, was set up in the time before time? Or is it just, why isn't a sexy six-way, he said. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bruce gets to the heart of the matter, like nobody no, like nobody else. So that's a good one. Now, I'm personally, me, a wordsmith myself, I'm disappointed at the overuse of the word fatal in fatal four-way and fatal five-way because no one ever actually dies. So when you're saying fatal four-way, I mean, there's almost a promise or implied promise of death in that match. So no one ever dies, so maybe we should pull back on that a little bit. I don't know if the – is it is fatal associated with any elimination match? Or, like, would they call it a fatal five-way if it was elimination and then they just called it a five-way if it's one pin wins it all? I don't know. I don't even know if this is a serious question. Am I taking this too seriously?
I don't know. With Bruce, I don't know. Because how come the number one contenders match tonight is a fatal five-way but not a final four-way nor a sexy six-way?
Oh, so then he's just asking why are there five wrestlers instead of four or six?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's actually an even tougher question than how I interpreted the original question. I don't know how they decide, you know, whether it's a triple threat or a four way or a five way. I think probably the more people in the match that, you know, there's bound to be fans who will say, oh, Rey Mysterio's in that match, I got to watch that. Or, oh, I'm a big Bobby Roode fan, I got to watch, as if someone actually says that. I'm a big Bobby Roode fan. I can't miss that match. So the more wrestlers you put in the match, theoretically, the more fans you would draw because the people who are specifically attached to those wrestlers as fans would want to tune in to watch it. That's my semi-serious guess.
I like it. And if he has an issue with that, he could kick rocks. Now, before we get out of here, because I see it's almost at that time of the day, I did want to ask you one last question, which is, what is it that keeps you watching? We've talked about all of the saturation of wrestling, but what is it for you, Greg, that kind of keeps you excited and keeps you watching, or what wrestlers kind of keep you excited?
I think it's just the you see what wrestling can be. You get those moments like Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania. That's the kind of thing wrestling should be way more often than it is. So it's those moments, it's the moments of surprise, like, you know, when Brock Lesnar comes out the day after WrestleMania and attacks John Cena all those years ago. It's those moments like that that you chase as a fan. And you may only get four or five of those a year. But when you're sitting there watching it and you've got this smile on your face and you can feel it, sometimes it makes up for those 3 months that you had to kind of slog through to get there. And so it's those moments, it's seeing the athleticism, and a lot of it is, you know, my childhood. I started watching wrestling at 5 or 6 years old. I have a lot of memories of watching as a kid. It was a big part of my childhood growing up. I remember when I was in fifth grade and they made us do creative writing stories. I booked a Royal Rumble and I just wrote it as a narrative. I mean, that's what I did. And my parents were like, Greg, you gotta write about something different. You can't write about wrestling all the time. But so that's how intrinsically linked it is with me from a very early age. And now as an adult, and, you know, my mom will still ask me every once in a while, when are you going to outgrow that wrestling stuff? I'm like, well, if it hasn't happened by age 35, I don't really see it happening. So, you know, it's that feeling of childhood and being a child again, and it conjures up all those memories of the, you know, Saturday morning watching Superstars and all that stuff. And it's the athleticism. It's the guys like Rey Mysterio, who you saw first break in America in ECW and then on WCW, and then you follow his career and you see him still doing the things he's doing at his age with all of his injuries, and the inspiration you could draw from him and from some of these other wrestlers who do great things. I mean, you know, we criticize WWE a lot, but their wrestlers do an awful lot of good out in the communities that they live in and that they serve. So you like to support that stuff. So there's a lot of little things, I guess, is what keeps me watching. And I try to be as positive as I can on social media. I know there are people out there, people that I follow, that I'll read their tweets and it's like, man, why do you even watch? You know, mm-hmm. It's like everything is so negative. And I get that sometimes there are bad episodes that you just have to trash. But to do it week in and week out, I mean, it's exhausting. It must be exhausting being that person and having to force yourself to watch such a poor product. So I try to be as positive as I can. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to put a positive spin on things just so I don't sound negative. I'll call a spade a spade. But, you know, I want to give props to when things go right as well. So that's kind of what you'll get with me on social media anyway, just to kind of tie a bow on everything, at Greg M. Parks on Twitter. And I hope I don't come across on Twitter as a curmudgeon or anything like that. But yeah, there's a lot of little things that keeps me going in wrestling. And as much as this upcoming week and this upcoming few months is going to feel in the wrestling world like an eternity, because there's so much and you have to try to fit in so much, I mean, it's also a very exciting time. And just, you know, following the backstage stuff and knowing what goes on there and then following what happens on TV, it is an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. I'll say that. And I said at the beginning of the show, it's really a fan's market right now, because there's going to be so much good and every company is going to want to put their best foot forward.
Yeah. And I think you kind of put a bow on this, kind of hit it right there, because we don't have to watch it all. I think there's a little secret that everyone, I remember CM Punk said that at StarCast, you know, we can watch whatever, you don't have to worry about two billionaires fighting. You watch what you like, don't watch what you don't like. And yeah, it makes it really easy. I think about, you know, the anxiety I have anytime I look at my DVR and the weeks of the blacklist I missed because it was the same night as Beyond Wrestling. And I was just like, I'll get to them. And then I look and it's like, oh, coming up this season on the black. It's like, oh, nope. Got to turn the channel. Seen anything past episode 6 of last season. And so thankfully Netflix is great for a little bingey binge. But it's also great because we could do that with wrestling. I love the fact that I can just, you know, I'm going to take a G1 approach to all of my pro wrestling as a resolution for the rest of this year. I'm going to watch what I like, not watch anything that's a prelim or something that I feel isn't worth my time, and kind of save that energy if something is great, like you said, or something is particularly bad and kind of shine light on it. Otherwise, I'm just wasting 3 hours, 4 hours, 5, 7, 11, 13 hours just to say I did it. And I'm not down with the glorification of busy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to dive in head first and watch as much as I can. You know, with part of it is, like, I've got a 10-page calendar, page 10 calendar right every week in the Torch newsletter. So I want to watch as much as possible, because you never know what's going to give you inspiration. I might want to write about Impact 1 week. I might want to write about SmackDown 1 week. I might want to write about AEW 1 week. So it broadens the choices that I have to write about, I guess, and that's a good thing. So, yeah, I'm going to try and dive in head first. I don't know how long I'll last. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stick to a schedule of watching as many as I can live versus just submitting and DVRing as much as I can and then catching up on a Sunday when there's no interesting football games to watch or anything. So I get the Miami Dolphins down here, so I guess that's every week that there's no interesting football to watch. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'll give it a go. And you'll be able to tell if you follow me on Twitter how long it lasts, because if it comes to be Wednesday or Friday and I go Twitter silent, you know I've checked out for the time being anyway.
Well, I think it's checking out time for us here. Before I get out of here, great. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah.
I see you. Didn't push one. It's fine. I'll judge you later. Anytime, you're welcome, especially because you took the time, and I know you have your show tomorrow. Weekends are important, especially with family, so I appreciate you taking this time with me. Let folks know what you got planned for tomorrow, any else social media-wise, or anything else you want to – your article this week.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Rich. I know we got together for Wrestling Night in America a couple weeks ago. I loved having you on. Great to be able to talk to you again here on your show. Tomorrow night, Tyler Sage, who covers Ring of Honor for PWTorch.com, will be on. We'll talk about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from last night. We'll talk about the upcoming week of wrestling. You know, we'll kind of take a big picture look at it and then dive down into what each show is offering this week, with AEW starting up on Wednesday, with SmackDown starting up on Fox on Friday night, and that sort of thing. So, and yeah, my column in the Torch newsletter is out this week. You know what? I'm so focused on what I'm writing this week, I don't even remember what I wrote last week. But it's there, and check it out. And I have an idea. I have an idea for this coming week's column, and that's what I'm focused on. Once I write my column and send it in, I tend to, you know, like Ron Popeil says for the Ronco, I set it and forget it. I send it in, and I'm focused to next week. So, yeah, it's there, and it's good. But I can't remember what I wrote about.
Well, that's fair enough, my friend. Thank you again for your time, and thank you all for being delightful human beings and listening. As always, I challenge you to dive into something new. Go beyond where you think you can go. Impress yourself. Go plus ultra if you're going to think with the all might mind. And in the meantime, in between time, be good, and I'll see you next week.